You'll want to stay with us if you have some wanderlust in your heart. If you've ever longed to sleep under the stars in Yosemite or view the glaciers in the Canadian Rockies as you venture past Lake Louise and make your way up to Jasper, Alberta. Our guest is Joe Yogerst, editor, writer, and photographer for National Geographic for 3 decades. We're here this evening to get a glimpse into Joe's new travelogue entitled 100 Parks, 5,000 Ideas. Greetings, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great, and thanks for being with us this evening.
Sure, thanks for having me.
I must start by telling you I travel extensively in my beloved Sprinter van, and your book, 50 States, 5,000 Ideas, lives in the pocket behind my driver's seat, and it's an amazing travel companion. So tell our listeners about your favorite parks.
Well, the one that I've been going to the longest and that I've been to the most is Yosemite National Park in California. I grew up in California, and it's the first park that my parents ever took me to when I was a toddler or 4 or 5 years old, and the first place I saw a black bear in the wild. So I guess that would be my all-time favorite. But a lot of times, my favorite is the last park I visited because all of them are so incredible. And that's what I found doing this book is I would go to a new park, and that would be my love until I went to the next park, and then I'd fall in love with that one, and so on and so on. So it's really hard to pick a favorite because there are so many that I discovered in doing this book and in other National Geographic books and assignments before.
From your travels throughout these parks, how about some tips on or some how best to's for visiting our national and our state parks?
Well, my tip for almost everyone is try not to go at the height of summer, because there are so many people trying to visit the parks then because the weather tends to be warmer and it's better for swimming and a lot of other outdoor activities. But I find that the early spring and the late fall can be really special times at parks because of the wildflowers in the spring and because of the leaves turning in the fall. And there tends to be a lot less people. You can have the roadways and trails to yourself a lot of times. And the atmosphere is a lot different than summer. Places like Yosemite, for instance, can be really special in winter, walking through the redwood forest with snow all over the ground. And in the case of Yosemite, being able to ski or cross-country or downhill ski there or ice skate in the valley and things like that. So I would say go off-season if you can, not in summer.
And just particularly for my edification, if you were to speak to the fall, when do things kind of slow down and the roadways and the trails begin to open up?
Well, it really depends a lot on what park you're talking about. In the case of the Canadian Rockies, Banff and Jasper National Parks in Alberta, things really don't slow down until October. And by then it's getting a little bit chilly, but September is part of the high season. August and September are really the high season up there rather than the earlier summer. A little bit south of there, Glacier National Park in Montana, I found out that really if you leave it until the end of September, most everything is going to be closed. You'll be able to drive through the park if there's not snow, but all of the hotels and the boating facilities and things like that will be closed already. So you need to go a little bit earlier, even though it's the same mountain range, not only a couple hundred miles from each other. So you really need to research where you're going and what's open at what time of the year. The last park I went to was the Adirondacks in upstate New York, and that was last fall. And I just happened to hit it by accident at the perfect moment for the changing of the leaves. I actually thought I was going to be a little bit late, but it turned out I just by accident hit it in the perfect week in early October.
Tell us how you travel.
How I travel?
Yeah.
I love road trips. I love to get in a car and drive. Growing up with my parents going on these long national park road trips, you drive long distances and just roll up to a campground or a hotel or lodge, and there was always a place available. I found out as a young adult that that was no longer possible, that you had to make reservations because the parks had become so popular. So nowadays, I definitely make reservations for where I'm going to stay, whether it's a campground, a lodge, or a hotel. But I love driving. I love road trips. I find a city to fly into where I can rent a car and take off on a road trip to that park, maybe do a big loop, maybe do a couple of parks at once, like I did last year, about a year ago in South Florida, where I flew into Miami and ended up on one long road trip doing Biscayne Bay, John Pennycamp Coral Reef, Dry Tortugas, which is off Key West, and then the Everglades at the end, and one kind of South Florida National Park road trip.
How about some hidden gems in your travels? What might we overlook that perhaps we shouldn't?
Wow, there's a lot. If you ever happen to be in Oklahoma or North Texas, there's a couple of what I think are overlooked parks there. Wichita Mountains National Wildlife Refuge, which is in southwest Oklahoma, is an amazing place to view the native animals of the Great Plains, in particular bison or buffalo. It's one of the places that helped save the buffalo from extinction 100-odd years ago, and there's still quite a herd there. There's also great hiking through Red Rock Canyons and some mountains you can climb, which are unexpected in Oklahoma. Not far away in the Texas Panhandle is Palo Duro State Park, which is Palo Duro Canyon State Park, which is the second largest canyon in the United States after the Grand Canyon. And I think if you're a Texan, you know Palo Duro from Texas history. But if you're not, it's a great surprise to find this great gouge in the earth out in the middle of nowhere in what is otherwise the Great Plains. And lots to do in terms of hiking, horseback riding, a lot of history there from Native American and cowboy days, and outdoor summer theater and amphitheater.
Can you tell us about your upcoming series, The Great Course Video on the American State Parks?
Well, we just felt that state parks were an underappreciated resource because they tend to be right down the road from where you live, and you probably grew up going to them, and they're never kind of spoken of with this reverence as national parks. But a lot of them are just as good as national parks, I think, in terms of scenery and variety and history. A lot of them probably would have been national parks if the states hadn't stepped in and saved them first and declared them parks. And there's roughly 8,000 to 10,000 of them spread across the country fairly evenly. Every state has a good state park network. So that's what we're trying to cover in this series, is what we hope is the best resource that's ever been done on American state parks. 24 episodes. It includes more than 100 parks altogether. Each episode has a specific theme. Like, for instance, we did state parks in Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky that have something to do with Abraham Lincoln. So that was one theme. We did another episode on state parks going down the Mississippi River from Minnesota to Louisiana. So it's something that's never really been done before with state parks, at least that we know about. And we hope it really illuminates these amazing parks to a much wider audience.
Thanks so much, Joe. That sounds like a terrific series. I think we'll all want to tune in and learn more.
Thanks very much for having me.
Our guest this evening has been National Geographic author and photographer Joe Yogerst. For more on his new book, 100 Parks, 5,000 Ideas, and Joe's upcoming video series, visit our website at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Stuart Holman.